6 seconds left. Halla gets it up top. Marcius over to the right. Big shot! Score! Shea Theodore! Vegas takes the lead 4-3! 2:03 to go! Perron to the circle. He shoots and scores! David Perron wins it! Up top for Kopitar. Feet to the right. Shot! Stopped by Fleury!
Shea Theodore is fourth and a huge hit by McNabb. He leveled Arvidsson. Wow.
Here's Howell into the zone. Howell left side, drop pass, big shot, score! It's John Merrill! Merrill puts Vegas on top, 2-1!
And welcome in, Vegas Golden Knights Insider Show, wrapping it up on a Friday. In between games, San Jose last night, Colorado over the weekend on Saturday. Clayton Hamilton, Frank Harnish, Chris Chapman behind the board, and happy Friday, Frank.
Yeah, Friday, you know, always a good time. A little early game tomorrow, so I'll make your plans accordingly. Join us over at Parkway Tavern, 215 in Flamingo. And I believe we're going to be doing Colorado previews back-to-back days or back-to-back shows.
Yeah, we're going to have them on Saturday, and then they're going to come to town on Monday. We're going to have some tickets for Monday's game today, so stick with that. That'll be a good time. But, yeah, early start tomorrow. They played in San Jose last night. Get the nooner local time here on Saturday.
Yeah, and, of course, Marc-Andre Fleury expected to join the team up there. In fact, I believe he's there already. And if he's up there, you kind of get the feeling that he's probably not there just to take a seat and watch.
Probably not. You would think if he was going to get an extra day, he would just take that here. That seems to make the most amount of sense. So if he's going to travel up there, probably going to see him, I would think, against Colorado.
In a big game.
It is a big game. It's a big game for us, big game for them after they just got woodshedded last night by the LA Kings.
By Anze Kopitar and the LA Kings. Yeah. Wow, what a game. He had 4 goals. Yikes.
Yeah, and the sad part is that game was 1-0 and Colorado early lead, got out to a great start, and then poof.
Yeah, Mr. Ratanen scored a goal and made some history by doing, well, not necessarily history. Fourth finish player with 80 points.
Yeah, there you go.
So there you go.
That's not bad.
Yeah, it's a pretty short list. When you're one of only four, and there's been some pretty good finish players, it's a short list.
Yeah, it's pretty good. Pretty good.
Hopefully Eric Holla will join that list next season.
Yeah, next season. We'll get him on there. Golden Knights, they did get a point last night, though, Frank, and that point pushed them to 100 in their inaugural NHL season, and they are now the first and only NHL team in history to reach 100 points in their first season.
Yes, and the Seattle Totems, I'm going to predict, will not reach that plateau.
No, I think not. I just hope the Seattle Totems kind of aren't the Seattle Totems. I'm torn.
I think everybody does.
I'm torn because I like the Kraken, but there's also a part of me that wants them to have a lame name as well. So, I don't know.
Maybe it should be a lame name contest.
I don't know. I don't know how I feel. I don't know how I feel about any of that. But I do know that the Golden Knights did not get the victory last night, but they did get 1 point, and 1 point is pretty important, and head coach Gerard Gallant talked with Gary Lawless last night about the importance of getting that 1 point.
Yeah, it's a huge point. I mean, the guys played hard. They played well. The first period, I thought, was excellent. We played a great first period, and then San Jose took over a little bit in the second period from there.
Malcolm Subban, 43 shots against him, and boy, he was good.
He was great, and that's good to see. I mean, it's his second game back, and I thought he was outstanding tonight. He's the main reason why we got a big point.
It's 100 points, and that's a pretty big number for any team.
No, it's a huge number, and definitely satisfied and happy with that. And what have we got? 8 games left of the season, so let's keep adding on to the points. But it's definitely a huge feat for our group so far.
Turk, can you just touch on the PK? Maybe how important that was to obviously keep you guys in the game.
Yeah, PK was awesome tonight. I wish it wouldn't have been used that much, but they were awesome. They did a great job, and that was the difference in us getting the point for sure.
From the second period on, like you mentioned, San Jose took over a little bit. Mm-hmm. What did they do well to stop you guys?
I'm not taking nothing away from San Jose because they played great, but the first period we never had any neutral zone turnovers. We tried to do too much with the puck in the offensive zone. We turned it over 3-4 times. We tried to make plays in the middle, and they just took advantage. It feeds their transition. And it's something we talk about all the time, and when you do that, the other team is going to take advantage, and that happened early in the period, and it continued on.
And obviously, Malcolm had memorable game? Is there one save in particular that maybe stands out to you?
No, there were many. Yeah, there was many. So he played. I thought he was strong. He just looked comfortable in there, and he looked strong in there. So that was a big thing for me.
The case too, where you just see the Sharks really giving you their best effort because they're trying to maybe catch you guys with
tonight.
Just in general,
I think the Sharks are better than what they've seen tonight, to be honest with you. I thought in the first period they didn't come out like I expected them to come out, and I thought we played a real fast period. So I think it was an okay game by both teams, but I think you'll see better from both teams.
That was head coach Gerard Gallant after last night's victory. Pleased with the 1 point. Would have liked to have gotten a little bit greedy and taken two, but one better than none.
Yeah, one better than none. And I thought, you know, in the old adage of saving the best for last, I thought that last answer was really interesting when he said that, you know, because I thought San Jose played pretty darn well with the 44 shots and everything else and the pressure they put out. And he said, yeah, to be honest with you, I thought they'd come out a little bit better. I thought they'd play a little bit better. So, you know, and I think that also sends a statement to everybody out there, to the rest of the Golden Knights, to let them know that, hey, you know what? You think that was playoff hockey, but playoff hockey is even going to be tougher and teams are going to be better than what we saw last night. And I think it's also a statement to the fans a little bit of, you ain't seen nothing yet.
You ain't seen nothing yet, for sure. And the Golden Knights got off to a pretty good start with Tomas Tatar getting the early tally. And that is our play of the game. The play of the game, as always, brought to you by Best Mattress. Best mattress, best service, best selection, best price guaranteed. Our play of the game, Tomas Tatar.
Puck back out to the left point, Theodore. To the high slot, Marchessault shoots out in front. Score! Tatar on the doorstep. And the Knights take a 1-0 lead.
1-0, they were off and running, and a great play by Tatar to get to the backhand and get it in net. But really, Jonathan Marchessault with sort of the no-look pass. He had a lot of options, and we had talked about it last night. Sometimes you don't look for a man, you look for a patch of ice. There was a beautiful patch of ice. Tomas Tatar got there. It was almost like a back cut in basketball, and a really good read by Marchessault to get it tape to tape.
Yeah, and a really nice to see Tatar have the patience there to kind of take it, make sure that he had complete control of the puck because he knew he had a lot of net, to make sure that he corralled it and then put it in the back of the net. Because we've seen guys on this team, and, well, we even saw it last night a little bit, sometimes when you have an opportunity, they don't even necessarily get it on net. Now, both teams did that, and everybody does it, because if you ever go to City National Arena, you see the guys. They practice shooting bar low, they're hitting the corners, hitting. I mean, they go for the corners because there's not that much available most of the time. But Tatar had a lot of net, and he buried that one. If you don't put it on net, it's more difficult to score. It might bounce off of somebody, but in that case, there was nobody for it to bounce off to, so it's either in or it's not.
And he really created that net space by taking his time. It wasn't like it got to the tape and he rushed the shot. He took his time. He went across the entire crease and found his area to hit it with the backhand.
Yeah, and I'm not going to say it was the only mistake Jones made all night, because I don't think it was a mistake. I mean, Tatar made a nice play, and he found it there. Jones played very well as well. I know Malcolm Subban had an incredible game. Martin Jones wasn't tested nearly as much, but Martin Jones played a pretty solid game as well. That's the Martin Jones that the San Jose Sharks are hoping they see in the playoffs. What I think, at least in my opinion, they're hoping they don't see in the playoffs is the LA Kings in the first round, which right now they would.
Well, we were wondering what kind of game Malcolm Subban would have. He gets full marks for his effort, faced 44 shots and turned away 42 of them. So a great effort by Malcolm Subban. He is our Brinkus Team Realty Player of the Game. Player of the Game brought to you by Brinkus Team Realty. Your home sold guaranteed. Malcolm Subban.
Range left circle. Point shot. On goal. Safe. Rebound smothered by Subban. It's underneath him. No whistle yet. Subban way out of his crease. Puck goes to the corner, and now a penalty coming.
One of many great saves by Malcolm Subban. That one right before the David Perron penalty, but that was got Harry right there in the crease, and he was up to the task.
Yeah, and Malcolm Subban, like I said, he had a phenomenal game last night. He basically stole the point for the Vegas Golden Knights. Although Vegas did have opportunities where they actually could have won that game, they certainly had opportunities in the overtime and before that as well. I know Evander Kane clanked one off the crossbar that could have given the win to San Jose, so both goalies played well. They also got a little help sometimes here and there from the crossbar on the post, but that's the way the NHL goes. A lot of times when you see those pucks that hit the crossbar of the post, it's because the goalie is literally giving them nothing else to shoot at.
Well, Gary Lawless caught up with Malcolm after the game and asked him what it was like to face all of those shots.
Well, obviously a tough finish, but 43 shots on you, a very busy night. How do you feel you played personally?
You know, I thought I controlled my rebounds decently well. I know sometimes they're trying to, like, throw them for rebounds, so I tried to control those, and, yeah.
Obviously, you want to get that extra point in overtime, but it's kind of a crapshoot in 3-on-3 for a goalie, is it not?
It's tough. I mean, both goalies are in the same situation, so there's not really an excuse for that. But it was a good shot. I think I maybe overplayed the short side a little bit, but yeah, it was a good shot.
Did it help you a little bit to get into some action in the last game when you came in for Marc-Andre and get a little bit of the rust off and allow you to prepare for this start with a little bit of confidence that you'd already been back into a game?
Obviously, my first start of the year, and then came back from my first injury, came back from the second injury. And, the team's done a really good job and letting me kind of get my feel for the game. They've always been really good at that. So, the guys been good at it all year. So,
that was Malcolm Subban after last night's effort. And Frank, we had talked about that, about the importance of what he was able to do against Vancouver to sort of get back up, but to game speed. I think that was real important, especially seeing the volume of shots that he saw last night.
Yeah, I agree. And he really didn't say that it did or it didn't. He just said, look, I've come back from injury before, but I definitely think it did. It helped him calm down. It was a basically no pressure situation. Had the 3-0 lead when he came into the game. Vegas scored the next goal to make it 4-0. Then he did give up a late goal, but it wasn't crushing because you still have the 3-goal lead against a team that has really been struggling this year, that's really been struggling of late in the Vancouver Canucks. So you could kind of coast into that. He got enough action to feel like he was into the game. In that first period, he faced 13 shots. I thought that was about the right amount of shots. We talked about that in between periods. But, boy, from that point on, they just wouldn't let up.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he saw a volume of them. Really good moments. Didn't have too many scramble drills in front where he had to do a lot, but his positioning was good. I'm sure that Dave Pryor and he had a nice conversation about that after the game.
Yeah, and I'm sure Dave Pryor might have had the biggest smile on anybody's face other than Malcolm Subban himself. And, yeah, although he did face the 44 shots, I thought they did a pretty good job of clearing out the crease to give him the good view of the puck so that he wasn't hindered on a lot of those situations. They also blocked 21 shots, so Vegas was very active, and you think about that. San Jose is a team that is fighting for their life. We had talked about it before the game. They scored 27 goals in their last five games coming into this one last night. So to hold them to one goal in regulation, and then in the overtime, let's be honest, the 3-on-3, anything can happen there. Vegas had opportunities. It looked like Marchessault was going to ruin it right off the bat. They didn't convert on that. They go down the other end. They get the goal, but just an excellent performance by Malcolm Subban. And I also like what he said there when they said, well, in the 3-on-3, that's kind of almost unfair. And he's like, look, both goalies face the same things. He wasn't making any excuses or looking for him. He said, yeah, it was a good shot. Maybe I overplayed it. So he was taking culpability. Why can't more people do that in this day and age?
Yeah, certainly nice to see that. And Golden Knights had their opportunities right before that on the rush that led to San Jose's rush. But, you 3-on-3 is what it is. But
I love it. I love it. Chris loves it. Most people love it.
I know.
Clayton hates it, but I love it.
I hate it. I certainly do. Vegas Golden Knights Insider Show, Fox Sports Radio. Clayton Hamilton, Frank Harnish, Chris Chapman behind the board. And it was a fun game last night. Lots of up and down action. Great playoff atmosphere. And that was the subject of the conversation when Gary Lawless sat down with James Neal.
A hard-fought game in here and kind of a playoff atmosphere for the team.
Yeah. And playing a good team, I think. We started the game just the way we wanted to. We came out, we're in their end lots, forechecking good. And then I thought we sat back and let them back in the game in the second. And then a couple tough calls in the overtime or in the third period. And then kind of couldn't get our momentum back a little bit.
You guys have really focused on day in and day out. But 100 points, you hit 100 points with that one point tonight. It's a pretty big number.
Yeah, it's impressive. Great season for our guys. Our group came together really quick and battled for each other all year. So it's been a lot of fun. We got a lot of work to do coming up here, but it's a great job so far. So we're not done yet, and something to look back on and smile at. But right now, we got to try to stay in the moment and continue to play good hockey.
And that was James Neal saying something that they've said all year, stay in the moment.
Stay in the moment. It's been a lot of fun, but we still have a lot of hockey, and we still have to play good hockey because they know the big picture here. Yeah, they're going to the playoffs. And it's nice when people bring up all the records that they've been breaking all year long, and they do another one last night, being the first expansion team to get 100 points in a season. But the work isn't done. It's been nice up to this point, but you don't want to see one of the greatest movies or one of the greatest stories in sports history with the bad ending. They want the good ending as well. Mm-hmm. and hopefully they will get it, but it's going to be a whole different thing. It's also going to be interesting to see. We get a little taste of it Saturday and Monday with playing teams back-to-back. That generally doesn't happen in hockey anymore. We did it earlier with Arizona way earlier in the season, but it's kind of a rare occurrence. When you get the playoff series and you could potentially play the same team seven times, the adjustments that are made, the physicality, the angst that comes up in that kind of stuff, that is a whole different level, and it's at a different level when they start. When series go seven games, that can really get intense.
Yeah, there's a lot of contempt builds up over that many periods on the ice together. But, you know, Frank, I was thinking last night about how fortunate that we are that a block of our day gets cut out for us to go to all of the games. So we already know at the beginning of the season we're going to see every one of them, whether it be at Parkway Tavern or Born and Raised, or whether it's at T-Mobile Arena, that part of our day is blocked out, scheduled. It is something we cannot miss.
The things we have to do for money.
I know, it's tough, and I certainly am grateful for each moment and each opportunity, but sometimes it's a little harder for other folks who have other jobs and other responsibilities to get to the game, as was the case last night for William Rothwell Torres in San Francisco, who had a problem, Frank. He had some tickets to the game against the Sharks, but he was also scheduled to work.
Yeah, and, you know, you're scheduled to work, you got a job to do, so what are you going to do? You going to lie to the boss to get out of something? Well, he was thinking about doing that, but he said, you know, maybe my team, although I'm up in the San Francisco, San Jose area, he's a Golden Knights fan.
Mm-hmm.
And he thought, let me ask them for help.
And so he did. He put it on the Twitter machine and asked for a little help, maybe to come up with a good excuse for him to miss work. But the Knights did one better, and he got a personal message from Nate Schmidt.
Hey, Will's boss. This is Nate Schmidt here with the Vegas Golden Knights, and I just would like to ask you a favor. I mean, Will's been working really hard lately. I really think he should be able to take the night off, a few hours, come watch a Golden Knights game. They play the Sharks tonight. It's going to be electric. I really think you ought to let him off the hook tonight. Thanks, man.
Well, Will showed this to his boss, and his boss bit and gave him the night off.
Well, I don't think his boss bit. I think his boss went, wow, I am darn impressed by what you did there, youngster. You not only got him to send you a tweet back, you got the Golden Knights to send you a tweet with him in the video, looking sincere right into the camera and talking to me and saying that you need the night off. You know what? You do, young fella. So he called up his girlfriend. Got himself a lift, went from Frisco to San Jose, and he went to the game.
Good for you. I just hope this doesn't backfire on him, and his boss will then come to him and say, hey, you know, if you put this much effort into not going to work, it's really maybe not that much effort to go and do your work. So I hope he doesn't have a stricter boss after this.
Well, I don't think he's got a problem with that, because he's been working very hard lately. Yeah. Nate Schmidt said that he was working hard, and Nate would know. Because Nate's with them at work every single day.
Every single day, yeah. That is absolutely true. Well, the Golden Knights have some more work to do. They will do it tomorrow against Calgary, 12 o'clock for the puck drop. That means Frank and I will have the pregame show for you at 11:30 from Parkway Tavern, 215 and Flamingo. So it is time for our Vegas Golden Knights game day preview, brought to you by Raikman Plumbing and Air Conditioning, where a flush beats a full house every time. Both teams coming in now off of a loss, albeit a 1 point for the Golden Knights against San Jose. But they need this win. They want to close stuff out, get that X by their name. And Colorado looking to rebound and make it into the playoffs.
Yeah, Colorado still struggling to get into the playoffs right now. Right now, they would be Vegas's first-round opponent, but I believe there's like six teams all within 4 points of each other. It's the closest that it's been in like a decade in the NHL in a division. The Pacific is so tight right now. So Colorado needs to not only win, they need to win to stay in the position, because other teams are chomping at their heels. And like you said, Vegas, they want to wrap this thing up. They want to know who they're going to be playing, which they won't right away, but at least they want to make sure that they maintain first place in the Pacific. They got a point last night, but San Jose got two. San Jose now just 7 points behind, so they're narrowing the gap. Vegas still holds their own destiny, but they want to win this one.
And that win by Los Angeles over Colorado last night leapfrogged them over Anaheim. LA now in the third position in the Pacific. That bumped Anaheim back down to eight, so they're going to be chomping at the bit trying to get into that seven slot as well ahead of Calgary.
Yeah,
ahead of Colorado.
Yeah, and when you look at the standings right now, Here's how close they are. Minnesota has 90 points. Colorado has 88. St. Louis, 85. That's from the Central. You go down to the Pacific. The Kings have 89. The Ducks have 88. The Flames are pretty much out of it with 80. And even San Jose up there with 93. Well, they're probably safe. But they're all so close to each other. And they're not all going to make it. Two mm-hmm. of those teams are going to be out of it. So, and don't look now, but St. Louis, they got an addition coming up that we're going to be talking about a little bit later, too, that's going to help them out here. So there's a lot of teams vying for it. Right now, Vegas just wants to make sure that they get that home ice for the first two rounds of the playoffs.
All right, and we talk about the workload that Marc-Andre Fleury has. Semyon Varlamov for Colorado played in his 19th consecutive game in goal last night. He was pulled and replaced by Jonathan Bernier, and it seems as if what Colorado is saying is that Bernier is going to start tomorrow. That was sort of the plan all along, and regardless of what happened last time out with him having to play some against the Kings, he is probably going to be in net tomorrow.
Yeah, and Colorado's been playing fairly well. They're 5-2-3 in their last 10. They did get take a beating last night, losing 7-1 to the Kings, but that kind of stuff happens. Sometimes the game gets out of hand. But 5-2-3 is good, but it's not exceptional. Although, it is, 13 points? So mm-hmm. 13 out of a possible 20. So, it's not terrible. But right now, they're fighting for that playoff spot. They need to get those points. They need to do whatever they can to assure that they get into the playoffs. Vegas just wants to get San Jose off their heels.
All right, get San Jose off the heels. It should be a fun game tomorrow. We will have it for you 11:30 and then 12 o'clock for the puck drop. And then we'll get to see them again on Monday, and we're going to have some tickets for that coming up. But there is a lot going on around the NHL. We're going to take you through the rest of the league on the other side of the break. You're listening to the Vegas Golden Knights Insider Show, Fox Sports Radio, your home for Golden Knights hockey in the Valley.
And the results are in. Please continue.
Well, I'm proud to say that I did have my final scan after the chemo treatment, Pat, and I'm proud to stand here before everybody and you, my partner and my friend, that all the cancer is gone, and we beat this thing. And I say we because it has been a team effort.
And that was the voice of Eddie Olczyk. And great news last night, Eddie Olczyk thus far beating cancer-free, and so good to hear that news.
Yeah, absolutely good to hear the news. I mean, it's great to hear the news, really. I mean, this is a guy who means a lot to hockey, but he's a lot more than that. He does a lot of charity work and different things on the side, and it's, you know, hockey is really a small-knit community. When he came out with that statement that he had cancer, the thoughts and the prayers and the calls and the tweets and everything over social media, I'm sure that he was overwhelmed by it all. And, you know, maybe some of that stuff worked.
Yeah, maybe it did. And what I really caught me what he said about, you know, we beat it and all of the people that surround somebody that's suffering from cancer. And I know you know about my dad, Frank, and today's the 1 year anniversary of when I lost my dad. And he fought cancer for 18 years. And yeah. He was able to do that because there were so many people in his life that would fight for him when he couldn't fight for himself, and would help him and would help my mom. And the gratitude that I have for those people that were willing to sacrifice of themselves for him. Same with Eddie Olczyk. All the people that sacrificed of themselves for him oftentimes go unnoticed. And I appreciate all of them.
Yeah, I know my mom was touched by it. She would have actually just turned 92 back on March 18th. And my oldest brother actually beat it years ago. And he just last year, it came back a little bit. And he's beat it again for the second time, it looks like. So, but, you know, you never completely win the battle mm-hmm. because you never know if it can come back or whatever. But it's just it's a devastating, just horrible, horrible thing. And I'm glad for Eddie Olczyk, and hopefully everything turns right and he doesn't have a case where he has to fight it again.
Mm-hmm. On a bit of a sadder note, though, H. Wayne Huizenga passed away today. He was the founding owner of the Florida Panthers, a part of the ownership group that was awarded the franchise back in 1992. And, you know, that Florida Panthers organization that he has been pretty close to the Golden Knights, not just with us getting two really good players and a head coach from them, but the Vegas Golden Knights beating a lot of the records up until the Knights came in. The Florida Panthers were the model for how to start an expansion franchise.
Yeah, Florida, and certainly Wayne Huizenga brought a lot of sports down to Florida. And I know Dan Lebertard was talking about him, other people. people as well. But Wayne Huizenga, a huge sports person down there. And while it is a sad note, it should also be a celebration of his life, because I got to tell you, if I had the life that he had and everything else and lived as long as he did, well, it wouldn't be the worst thing in the world, my friend.
Yeah, he was 80 years old. He helped secure the funds for the BB&T Center, where the Florida Panthers have played since 1998. And as you had said with the other sports down there, there was a time when he owned not just the Panthers, but he was also the chief owner of the Miami Dolphins as well as the Florida Marlins.
Yeah, so again, a huge sports icon down there, and he will be missed. From what I understand, I believe it was his daughter that basically let people know that he had passed away, but didn't really give the details of it. But you know what? We don't need to know the details. He's 80 years old. He probably had some health problems. Rest in peace.
Mm-hmm. And Florida still fighting away for that last playoff spot. There are some injuries that needed to be discussed, Frank. We will start in Dallas with Jason Spezza. He could be out for the remainder of the regular season with a back injury.
And things just keep on getting worse for the Dallas Stars as they continue to try to make it into the playoffs. We know Bishop got hurt recently, and now I just don't see how they make it. They're mathematically in it, but if there was any of the teams right now that are fighting for those final couple spots that I would say is my first one out outside of Calgary, because they basically shot themselves in the foot, I would say it's Dallas.
And I think Dallas might be on that trajectory of what happened to Calgary. I don't see them being able to rebound. They've lost six in a row. They trailed the Ducks by 4 points for the second wild card slot. They have to play Boston tonight, so if they can't get out of tonight with 2 points, I think you can stick a fork in them.
Yeah, and again, I mean, it's to me, they're one of the biggest disappointments in the NHL.
Mm-hmm.
Because coming into the season, I really thought that they had made some moves to improve themselves and be in a very good position to not only go into the playoffs, but be a team that could do some damage in the playoffs. To not even make it, if I'm a Stars fan, I am not happy with things. If I'm a Stars player or front office guy, I'm not happy with things.
Yeah, he certainly thought that they were going to be in the conversation. A guy that's been in the conversation all season long has been Mike Green of the Detroit Red Wings. Everybody thought he was going to move at the deadline. He did not. He's going to be out the rest of the year now after having neck surgery.
Yeah, Green with the neck surgery, like you said, cervical spine surgery. He's going to have it on April the 5th. That will take at least 2 months to recover. Well, Detroit's not going to the playoffs, so that means he's done. July 1st, he becomes a free agent. I think he's going to get a lot of looks from a lot of different teams out there. I don't know if he's going to break the bank someplace, but he's probably in for a hefty raise. And, well, I guess if you're a Red Wing fan, the good thing is you'll get his salary off the books. But you're also losing a heck of a hockey player there. I wouldn't be surprised if Vegas isn't one of the teams looking at him if it's reasonable and it fits.
And I imagine when he comes back from that neck surgery and he skates for the for all of the interested parties, that there's going to be a lot of people showing up at whatever rink he has his sort of pro day at, where he shows everybody that his neck is A100%.
And, you know, if he does come out here to Vegas, maybe him and I can do a neck remote someplace together or something like that. The neck surgeon twins.
You can compare pictures and see what's holding him together. You had mentioned St. Louis getting a prize back, and that prize comes in the form of Vladimir Tarasenko, who will return to the lineup as the Blues can seek a fourth consecutive win tonight against the Vancouver Canucks. Tarasenko has missed two games with an upper body injury that he sustained back on March 17th against the Rangers.
Yeah, Tarasenko, to me, is one of the best players in the NHL. He is second on the Blues with 58 points in 71 games. And I honestly believe that one of the reasons he only has 58 points is because the Blues kind of play conservative to the vest, especially when they get a lead a little bit. If he was on a team that really opened it up and let him go up and down the ice full bore all the time, this guy's numbers would be right up there with the top guys in the league. I really like Vladimir Tarasenko, which is difficult for me to say because I generally don't like Blues players.
If you were a Blues fan, or if you were a Stars fan, who's more disappointed in the season that they have and the approach that they took? Are you angry if you're a Blues fan about getting rid of Stastny when you are this close to maybe securing a playoff spot?
As a Stars fan, I'm angry because my team underachieved. As a Blues fan, I'm angry because it looked like the front office threw in the towel when you were still definitely in the fight. You not only had a puncher's chance, You were almost dead even on the judges' scorecards, and you quit. I don't understand that. I still don't understand that. The players on the Blues don't understand that. I don't know how you explain it to the fan base there. Wait, we're paying our season ticket money. We support this team year after year after year, and you take one of our best players when we're literally a point or two out of the playoffs with still at that point 20-plus games to go? I would be much more angry as a Blues fan. As a Stars fan, I'd be upset and disappointed. As a Blues fan, I'd be angry.
Yeah, and it's so hard to buy into that. And I know there's those folks that will say, you know what? What's the difference in not making the playoffs and being an 8 seed and maybe being swept out of the playoffs? But it's sort of an attitude of what you feel that your fan base can tolerate or how you treat the people that spend so much money to go to your games, to just tell them, no.
Well, not only that, but anybody who would say that, I would look at them and say, have you ever watched the NHL?
Mm-hmm.
An 8 seed didn't get taken out of the playoffs? Did you see what Nashville did last year? Did you see what the Kings did when they won their second Stanley Cup? Have you ever watched an NFL playoff series? If you get into the playoffs, you're in it.
Mm-hmm.
You can make damage. Things can happen. You can get a hot goaltender. If that's their attitude, then they either haven't watched the game before, or they're just downright stupid.
Yeah, I'd be really angry and disappointed if I were a Blues supporter. But thank goodness, Frank, I'm a Vegas Golden Knights fan, and our team got better at the deadline.
Absolutely, got better, and that getting better is still gelling, and they're going to be even better when they get Riley Smith back. James Neal's back now. Carrier still has to return. No, I mean, things are looking pretty good. And Marc-Andre Fleury, whew.
Yeah, looks exactly.
Like, looks like maybe a lot of people had their heart stopping here for a few days, and they didn't really tell us anything. But, the mystique and everything was, while it was a little bit tough to handle, to keep your heart beating without that irregular beat, yeah, hopefully everything's okay and it will continue to be that way. But boy, every time Marc-Andre Fleury, somebody comes near his crease, the whole breath in T-Mobile just stops.
It does. It's amazing the way that it does. And if you want to see the Golden Knights, we are going to have some tickets coming up here in, I don't know, 5-10 minutes or so. We're going to have some tickets to give away for that Colorado game on Monday. More injuries, though. Braden Holtby of the Washington Capitals, their goaltender, he is dealing with an undisclosed lower body injury, is considered day-to-day, but good for them. Philip Grubauer's been playing great. He had 39 saves last night in his third shutout of the season in Detroit.
I'm just wondering if the undisclosed lower body injury is his catching glove and his stick that is below his waist, because he hasn't been able to stop pucks very well lately, and they're not really saying exactly what's wrong with him. Now, I know the NHL has a tendency to do that. We just talked about the Vegas Golden Knights doing it with Marc-Andre Fleury. But there were some reports that I was reading yesterday that said that they thought that Holtby was actually ready to play right now. I think right now maybe he is injured, but they want to make sure that he's got plenty of time to heal, because Grubauer has been flat out just outplaying him.
Are you saying that Braden Holtby is suffering from a gaping five hole?
I'm saying that Braden Holtby has incredible regular seasons throughout his career, and then come playoff time, has not exactly performed well. Or when he has, it has been against teams not from Pittsburgh.
Well, Holtby was on the ice for yesterday's morning skate, but head coach Barry Trotz said that it was always the plan to have Philip Grubauer play yesterday anyway. So don't read anything into that, is what he said, because it was always the plan. But they did keep the backup to the backup, Phoenix Copley, on the roster, and he should be around still on Saturday when they play next, and then they will make a decision as to when Holtby is coming back.
Yeah, I mean, for Capital fans, I do hope Holtby's ready to go. He is a good quality goaltender, but there's something about him mentally in the playoffs that he's not the same goaltender. Maybe it's just Pittsburgh. I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
But I do know one thing. When they play Pittsburgh, they lose.
Yeah, a lot of teams have run into that when it comes to Pittsburgh. Hey, Frank, you know, we were talking yesterday. There was some doom and gloom sweeping across Manitoba yesterday and the day before with Patrick Laine as he came out of the lineup and he was injured. But a spark of hope returns today as it says that Patrick Laine will be a game-time decision for the Jets when they host the Ducks at Bell MTS Place tonight.
You know, it's funny because when we talked about it yesterday, and I saw that one report, and I said it says 4 to 14 days. We were both kind of like, that's quite a discrepancy there. 4 to 14. What does that mean? Well, apparently Patrick Laine says what that means is they can kiss my butt. If I'm ready to play, I want to go in there. I want to win that scoring title. I'm 19 years old, and I need some razor blades.
Yeah, exactly. That beard. That beard is terrible,
Patrick. I know the beard really bothers
you. I love Patrick Laine, but that is one of the ugliest beards that I have ever seen in my life.
See, I threw you the alley-oop there.
That's right. He's not a bad-looking kid, but he looks like a homeless lumberjack.
I have no idea if he's a good-looking kid or a bad-looking kid. I don't know what a good-looking man is, but
terrible.
I do know one thing. He's one heck of a hockey player.
he certainly is. Paul Maurice is saying that he wants to play, said they'll give him the afternoon to make sure it continues to go in the direction it's going, but he was pretty direct with me about his ability to play tonight.
Yeah, and I expect him to be in there. He's a good player, and Winnipeg really needs him. That's the only thing that I would say that might keep him out, because they need him for the playoffs.
Yeah,
and if he's not ready to go as much as he wants to, if I'm the coach, I'm going, you know what? We're not really fighting for the position and everything else. We're kind of where we're going to be. We're not catching Nashville. We need you 100% there, youngster.
Yeah. What a playoff series that's going to be. I'm anxious to see how the Winnipeg Jets perform in the playoffs. Some news out of Ottawa, and Ottawa's front office is saying that Erik Karlsson will be offered a contract by the Senators on July 1st, the first day they are allowed to do so, a general manager, Pierre Dorion, confirmed today.
No, I don't know how you don't confirm that. I don't know why that was ever a question, that you would at least try to show your fan base and everything else that your intent was to keep him, that you want to keep him there, that you're going to make him an offer. And with the tragedy that just hit him and his wife the other day, I mean, you'd look like the most cold-hearted SOB in any sports management to not do something like this. So they have to do this, but I think they were going to do it anyhow. I do think it's sincere, but I just don't know if he stays there.
Pierre Dorion said the relationship between he, Eugene Melnyk, and myself is strong. I want you all to know that when we can offer Erik a contract on July 1, we will do so. Remember the last time we heard the coach and the quarterback and the owner of the Patriots all came out and said, our relationship is strong, Frank, and then they went on to lose the Super Bowl.
Well, and you can have a strong relationship, and they can offer him a contract on July 1, but I got news for him. It's not going to be the only contract offered to him on July 1.
Do you think that he will have suitors, Frank?
I know he doesn't have a very good plus-minus this season, but I think that has more to do with the players around him
right.
than Erik Karlsson himself. What he did last year in the playoffs, playing on basically one leg because he had a completely shattered ankle, which they had to rip half of it out or whatever, he has to be one of the toughest SOBs I've ever seen. And even on 1.5 ankles now, he's still one of the top players in the league. This guy's incredible.
And he did not get that much of a vote of confidence for his head coach, Guy Boucher, who Dorion said would be reevaluated after the season. He said, when it comes to our coach and our coaching staff, we all feel that Guy is still a very good coach. But in saying that, we didn't meet expectations. So when the end of the year comes, I think we'll have to reevaluate what we're doing with our coaching staff. So not a ringing endorsement for the head coach.
It kind of sounds like an endorsement for him to maybe get a nice resume for the next job that he's going to be looking after or whatever.
Right.
Yeah, we'll recommend you for somebody else because we still think you're a good coach. Maybe not in this situation, though.
Well, there might be some openings in the KHL, Frank, and that's not because KHL coaches aren't doing well, but they might just be sleepy and tired after the longest game in KHL history finally went into the books. Helsinki Yokert and CSKA Moscow played 142 minutes and 9 seconds to decide their playoff game.
Mika Niemi finally put an end to the epic playoff game, scoring just over 2 minutes into the fifth overtime frame with the goal. Jokerit skated away with a 2-1 win. By the way, the winning goalie, Kari Rano, made 83 out of 84 saves, and we thought Malcolm Subban had a tough night last night.
That is like a double. That's a double Subs game for him. But good news for the rest of the Western Conference, Frank, and that is that Elli Tolvanen of the Nashville Predators, who plays for Helsinki Jokerit and is not going to come over here until they are out of the playoffs, now has to play more games in the KHL. So that helps everybody that doesn't want to see Nashville succeed.
Well, does it? Or does it just mean that now he gets playoff experience over there to come right over here and go to the NHL playoffs?
Maybe. Maybe he'll just be tired. He'll be tired. He's got to play all this.
I think he'd play with Nashville anyhow. I think you're trying to find the silver lining when it's a gold-plated.
They have great jerseys. Helsinki Jokerit. Yeah. It's fantastic. They have the best jerseys in the KHL. Well, if you want to see the great jerseys of the Golden Knights on Monday, it is time for you to call in 702-876-1340. 702-876-1340. Caller number 30, you're going to the game on Monday. When we come back, it is Frozen Four time, and we're going to give you our predictions for the college tournament right here on the Vegas Golden Knights Insider Show. Fox Sports Radio, your home for Golden Knights hockey in the Valley. And welcome back in, Vegas Golden Knights Insider Show. Congratulations to Chad. Chad, you're going to that game on Monday against the Colorado Avalanche. The guys, NCAA basketball tournament is in full swing. The playoffs are getting ready to start in hockey, but the NCAA Division I Men's Hockey Championship is underway right now in four different locations. They're all going to hook up in St. Paul, Minnesota at the XL Energy Center, home of the Minnesota Wild, next weekend for the Frozen Four. But you have to punch your ticket this weekend with games starting today. And it's so much fun to do the basketball one. I thought we would fill out our bracket for the NCAA hockey tournament. Who do you got, Frank? Who do you like?
Now, are we just picking Frozen Four here, right?
Yeah,
we're not going
Frozen
every
four.
Single round.
No. Just okay. Who is your Frozen Four?
Well, I am going to go Minnesota State.
Okay.
Along with Denver, who won it all last year. Mm-hmm. So I'm not taking chalk in either one of those. Then I'm going to take Cornell.
Okay.
Because they're smart.
Mm.
Although they are the one seed in their region. And then I'm going to take a little shot here on Clarkson, because their women just won the whole thing, and I want to see if the men can also make it to the Frozen Four.
All right, so we've got Minnesota State, Denver, Cornell, and Clarkson. Chris Chapman.
I'm going to go also with Minnesota State, because that's where Hayden coached in the TV show Coach at Minnesota State. I'm going to go Princeton, because I am from New Jersey, so I have to represent the Tigers there.
And they're smart.
They are smart. I'm going to go with Michigan because John Merrill is a Michigan guy. And I'm going to go with Providence. Actually, no, I changed it. I'm going to go with Clarkson because they are the Golden Knights. So,
I know. Yes, they are.
Yeah, right. So I'll go there.
Even though they wear green and gold like the Bison of North Dakota State.
Not the Bisons of Lipscomb?
They're the green and gold Knights.
The green and gold Knights. I'm going to go Minnesota State as well. We're all on Minnesota State.
Oh, they're
Denver.
Done. They're done.
Denver. Michigan and Notre Dame, and my bracket could get busted because they're in overtime.
Let's go, Michigan
right
Tech.
Now.
Let's
and
go.
I've got Denver winning the whole thing. Who got winning the whole thing?
Who did I have winning the whole thing? I had Cornell winning it all.
Cornell.
Because they're smart.
Princeton. They're in New Jersey.
Nice. Well, I've got Cornell losing in the first round to Boston University, Mike Ruzioni's squad. Love me some Terriers.
And by the way, if any of you people go to find these things and want to bet them, you're insane because we have no idea what we're talking about.
Yeah, we have no idea at all. But join us tomorrow for the professional ice hockey, 11:30 for the pregame show, 12 o'clock for puck drop right here on Fox Sports Radio. But stick around right now because T.C. Martin, the doctor, is next.